Hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you today. Thank you for joining in. We're going to study a brand new study today. We're going to go into study number 22 in our ABCs of Christian Growth, and that's the letter V. And it's going to be concerning the subject of victory, in the Bible, and what our God's Word says about victory. Now, a lot of people think a whole bunch of different, have a lot of different definitions about what victory is. Some people think obtaining some dope is victory. Some people think getting the best job in the world is victory. Some people think having a big bank account is victory. A lot of different definitions of victory. But today we're going to find out, and remember what we're talking about. We're not talking about what the world's definition of victory is. Whenever we do these studies, we're talking about what the Bible says to the Christian. Now, if we're going to talk about what the Bible says to the world, then we'll make that clear. But for the majority, we're talking about what the Bible says to the Christian, to the bride of Christ, to us. That's why we're studying our God's Word, because we want to know what God says. We want to know what our Lord says about different things. So today we're going to go into our study of victory. So today we're going to talk about victory. Now, one of the greatest single needs in the Christian's life, in the majority of Christians' lives, is that a victory, is having the victory. When we start out as a Christian, we don't know anything. We have to start out as a babe, just like a baby that's being born, and we have to start growing spiritually. And as we learn the Word of God, we grow and we grow and we grow, and we obtain victory in different areas of our lives, our spiritual lives. And it reflects in our physical lives and in our thinking and all other things. But victory is a wide scale of definition, I mean, in a Christian's life. When you ask a Christian, do you have the victory? Well, what part are you talking about having the victory? Let me give you an example. One of my mentors that I love very much, he's gone to be with the Lord now. He gave an example a long time ago. I don't remember what he was talking about, but he was talking about, well, probably talking about victory. Let me tell you about it, and then you can see. But I don't remember exactly what he was preaching on or teaching on. But anyway, he said that he was out on visitation one time, and he went to visit this woman that had been sick for a long time, and she was in the bed. She was bedridden, and she was dying. And he went to visit her just to kind of cheer her up and help her to feel better and to maybe encourage her in the Lord and everything else. And he said when he got there, they escorted him up to the door to her bedroom, and it was just him and the other fella that was with him, soul winning and visiting. And said he opened the door, knocked, and she said, come in. And when he opened the door, he said a stench came out of there and it like to knock him down. It was so nasty. It smelled like death. It was just awful. And he said it smelled like a human dying. And he said, but God the Holy Spirit was so strong in that room. He said that's what he was talking about, was sensing God, sensing the Spirit and being sensitive to God the Holy Ghost. He said the smell was awful. He said, but that was just beside the point. He said God the Holy Ghost was so present in that room of that old saint being in fellowship and having the victory that he didn't approach her on his feet. He said he got down on his hands and knees. He said God the Holy Ghost was so present in that room that he got down on his hands and knees and crawled to her bedside and reached up and took her hand and talked to her on his knees. And that saint had the victory. He talked to her and her flesh was dying and the room smelled like death. But as far as it came to having the victory, and God the Holy Ghost's presence in your life and having the victory, she had the victory. Had enough victory and had enough walking with the Lord in the bed, dying, that it knock a man to his knees to bow before God. Yeah. So it depends on what you're talking about when you're talking about victory. There's a lot of suffering in the Christian life. The Bible tells us that there's going to be suffering in the Christian's life. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's appointed unto you to suffer for Christ's sake. The Lord makes us suffer so that he can establish us, the Bible says, that he can ground us and make us strong in our faith and use us. There's suffering. Is suffering victory? Well, it depends on who you're talking about. The world wouldn't answer that way in any means. They don't want to be suffering about nothing. There ain't no victory. As a matter of fact, the world thinks if you're suffering, then you're doing something wrong. You see. But that ain't the way the Bible speaks to the Christian and tells us as God, as the Lord's bride, and talks to us about the truth in the Scriptures. So when we're talking about victory, we're not talking about what the world thinks about victory. Now, not simply a victory here and there. When we're talking about victory, and we study this subject of victory, we're not talking, and what the Bible says about it, we're not talking about a victory here and there, but the experiencing of consistent, daily, victorious living. In other words, no matter what you're going through, no matter what is taking place in your life, whether it be good or whether it be evil, or whether you're suffering or whether you're in excellent health, or whether whatever you're going through, because life changes daily. The Lord said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said, don't take no thought of tomorrow. God gives us permission not even to think about tomorrow. He didn't say, he wasn't talking about not planning and being a good steward of things and excuse me, and things like that. He was talking about as far as setting your schedule up and your calendar and everything else as far as living life. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. For sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said, today and the evil that's going to be around you today is all you can handle. And it is. And the more you learn about the Christian life, the more you'll learn that, Lord, I'm going to live today and today only. I'm not going to think about tomorrow. And there's some victory in that itself. But we're not talking about victory here and victory there, and I got the victory over this and I got the victory over that, and then all of a sudden you're back down in the valley and in and out and up and down, you know, stuff like that. We're talking about a consistent victory and how to have that and what the Bible says about it. And excuse me. Now, sadly, so many believers are living defeated lives. And I'm guilty of that. I've been walking with the Lord sometimes as best as I know how, and have confessed all my sin, and as far as I know, I don't have any enemies and nobody's mad at me, and I've made things right with everybody else in my life, but still feel defeated. And a lot of believers are living defeated lives and, you know, walking around, their ears hanging down, look like an old sad dog and living a defeated life. But you've been saved for some time now, let's say, and you've been working through these we've been working through these lessons for a lot of weeks, and we've been going through A, B, C, D, all the way through there. And let's just ask a question right now. Are you living a victorious life? Do you know what it is to live a victorious life? It's kind of hard to define, ain't it? It's kind of hard to define because you can't compare living in the world and the way that the world says, and like putting your hands together and folding your fingers together and how they just blend together. You can't blend the world into Christianity and have victory like the Lord wants you to have victory. Now, be honest with yourself before God. If you're defeated, and if your life consist of a roller coaster or some kind of path of spiritual up and ups and downs, like we're talking about, then this lesson that we're fixing to learn right here is going to be valuable to you, because it's going to teach you what the Bible says, and studying it will not be enough, but you're going to have to apply this stuff. Okay? So let's get into our study and start seeing what God's Word says about it. Now, the first thing we need to find out in the from the Scriptures is, does God want us to have the victory? Does God want His children to have the victory? What does the Bible say? Do you know any Scriptures right off the top of your head or no? As a matter of fact, now when we read God's Word, we take for granted that it's true. And we don't question whether it's right or wrong. God is right all the time. And if we don't quite understand, then we study more, right? But God is right all the time. And His Word is right all the time. So, does God want His children to have victory? Well, of course He does. Of course He does. But wait a minute. What's the Bible say? All right, well, let's look at some. Let's see what the Lord says. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, listen to this. The Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And we know who the thief is. "I am come," it's the Lord talking, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." There was more meaning to what the Lord came for. He said that He had come that we could have life. But when the Lord says life and the world says life, talking about two different things. The Lord's kind of life is eternal life and spiritual life. And He said that He's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now, according to that verse right there, the question is, does God want His children to have victory? According to that verse, the Lord wants me to have what? He wants me to have an abundant life. Now, that's not like hooping and hollering and having a party all the time and this and that and the other. It's talking about a completely different thing as far as the Christian. An abundant life, there's just like I was talking about that woman in that bed that he went and visited, that sister in that bed. She had the abundant life. She had God the Holy Spirit. She was living in fellowship with God. So much being in a bed and dying, her flesh dying, that she had the abundant life. And he said that when he left there, he was the one that was blessed, and he was the one that was meant for the appointment. She was meant for him, not him meant for her. And he said that. Now, that was a lesson that he learned when he went. He said, being up and running around and doing things for the Lord and doing this and doing that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, got this done, blah, blah, blah. And now there is scheduled things that we do for the Lord and stuff like that. But he said, that ain't what the Christian life's all about and having the abundant life is all about. He said that taught him something about having victory. Now, in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now, the Bible talks about life, and it talks about joy, fullness of joy, not just having joy, fullness of joy. "And thy right hand there are pleasures forever." So according to that verse right there, and we're talking about, does God want us to have victory? The Lord intends for me to experience what? Fullness of joy. The Bible says in another place that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says according to John chapter 8. Now, according to them last two verses, does God want us to have the victory? If He said He wanted us to have the abundant life, He wants us to have fullness of joy. And then in John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, there's some of the other books that have changed that verse around and said the truth will set you free. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the truth will make you free. You ask a prisoner that's in prison whether he has the difference in being made free and the difference in being set free, and he'll give you a definition of it. There's a difference in being made free and the difference in being set free, you see. The Lord said, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Just like that woman in that bed. There's people that had freedom, had their legs, had their health, had everything else, and running around in the world just as miserable as they can be. Just as miserable, got no joy, got no fullness of joy, got no abundant life, got no nothing, no victory about nothing in their life, running around wanting to kill herself because they're so miserable. And there's a woman that's dying, and the stench is so bad that the flesh is dying so bad, but she had fullness of joy and had the abundant life and the truth making her free. There's a difference in all that. There's a big difference. A big difference. She wasn't set free. She couldn't get up and go nowhere. Her flesh had tied her down. But as far as being made free, she was made free. The Lord talking about having the yoke of the world on you and the yoke and the Lord's yoke on you. And the Lord said that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And it is. It is. Now, a lot of the things about this victory that we're studying right now is that you get a lot of times you get what you're looking for. A preacher one time said that what you learn is depending on, or what you get out of a lesson is depending on what you intend on learning. In other words, if you want victory, you're going to have to desire victory. If you want to have spiritual victory and you want to have victory in your life and you want to have joy and you want to have abundant life, there's circumstances that bring that about. You can't be living for the devil and an ungodly and wicked life and expect to have the abundant life and the joy of the Lord. It just don't work that way. And it's never going to work that way. You can't be made free and not even set free. So the world is running around like chickens with their head cut off looking for nothing. Looking for nothing. They don't even know where they're headed. They don't even know what's going to happen after they die. They don't know where they're going when they die. And they're running from here, they're getting up in the morning, they're running a schedule working 18 hours a day, and when they get off of work, they go home and they're still blank and got no idea what's going on in their life. They don't have no abundant life and they don't have fullness of joy. They're miserable as they can be. But the Bible says that God wants His children. Now, remember when we talked on that last lesson in when the Lord's prayer in John chapter 17, when the Lord prayed for us and He said, I pray not for the world. Not for the world. The Lord could give a flip about whether the world has abundant life or has fullness of joy, because that's ridiculous to even talk about, because if the Lord says, you don't want me, I don't want you. Go ahead and be miserable as you can. Now, you better learn what God says. God, the Lord is not some little push-around, blonde-haired, effeminate, a little drop of blood here and a little drop of blood here on His palms, and like the effeminate Christ that hangs on the cross in the Catholic Church and some of the Episcopal churches and stuff like that. That's not your Christ. That's not our Lord. Our Lord was a man. Jesus Christ. And He was a perfect man. And the Lord taught the abundant life, but He never compromised and said that you could have abundant life living like a wicked, living wicked. You're not going to have it. It just don't work that way. The Bible says sin is good for a season. It only lasts so long, and then it turns into vomit. Yeah, That's what the Bible says. It said the dog returned to his vomit and the pigs returned the pig pen. Yeah. You see, the only way you can have victory and you can have the abundant life is first you got to get somebody out of the stinking pig pen. You can't have abundant life being in the stinking pig pen. So what we're getting at, and what I said just a while ago, is there's responsibility having to do with having victory. There's certain things. It's not that you have to work for victory. The Lord wants to give you victory, and He wants you to have it. But it comes under certain circumstances. You cannot live an ungodly life and expect to have spiritual victory and the abundant life that God talks about. Now, you can have a big boat and have a big house and have all the money in the world, but those are the most kind of people that commit suicide, is the ones that got everything in the world and they still don't have an abundant life. And they don't have fullness of joy, have no joy at all. They're the most miserable people in the world. People taking pictures of them and put them on the magazines, on the front of the magazines, and make big stories about them, how what hot shots they are and everything else. And the next thing you read is they shot themselves in the head. That's really having abundant life and having fullness of joy, ain't it? That woman that was laying in that bed had more joy than all of them and had more of the abundant life waiting to go be with the Lord. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So one thing about having the victory and having an abundant life is there has to be truth. There has to be truth in your life. There has to be truth in order to be free. The Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. There are certain circumstances that bring victory. And a lot of people don't have victory, and they complaining about not having victory, and they know, and they've already been told a million times what it is that's keeping them from having victory. God the Holy Ghost is not prejudiced or respecter of persons. He tells you just what you're doing right, and He tells you what you're doing wrong, where you're messing up. It's just a question of whether you're going to listen to Him and make the change. See, God's not going to force you to make no change. If you want to make a change and you take the first step, the Lord will come along and give you 10 more steps because of your effort and because of your will to want to do it and to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, when it comes to having the victory, I want the victory, don't you? But it seems like it takes every Christian's different, but it takes a pretty good bit of time in a Christian's walk when he first becomes born again and he starts finding out that there's an enemy to the Christian life and that the world, the flesh, and the devil are the enemy, and starting to find out what the truth is and starting to see what he really is rather than what he thought he was while he didn't know the Lord, then things start getting a little harder. And some people change their mind and they decide that they want to quit fighting. I remember one guy that I was trying to help. He was in the drug world and he was in the dope and he was in the drinking and stuff like that. And I talked to him and everything else. And I said, "Man, why don't you just come on? Let's get this thing taken care of and just get back with the Lord and get these things going." And one thing that he said to me that struck me, which is the truth, he said, "I'm scared to be straight." And I thought about that and it set me back for a minute. Scared to be straight. Because, and there's some truth in that. a lot of people are in these drugs and not because they want to be in that world, but because they don't know how to have victory with the Lord or have victory in the Christian walk. And the battle's real, folks. You're going to fight on the devil's side, not necessarily against God, but you're going to fight a battle. No matter if you're living and breathing on this earth, you're going to fight a battle. If you're suffering because you're drinking too much, or because you're this, or because you're that, you're going to suffer that way. And if you're going to walk as a Christian and walk upright before the Lord and do the things that are pleasing in His sight, you're going to suffer for that too. But the Lord said that it's better for you to suffer for righteousness' sake than it is for doing evil, because it's well-pleasing in the eyes of the Lord that you suffer for righteousness' sake. Suffer for doing right. You're in a battle. And there's a whole bunch of definitions of victory in the Christian life. There's daily victory. There's victory in prayer. There's victory when the Lord finally comes to get us and take us out of here at the rapture. There's victory when the Lord Jesus Christ comes at the second coming, at the second advent, when He comes down here and sets up the millennium after he kicks the devil's ties him up for 1,000 years. There's different kinds of victory. But we're talking about the Christian's victory, where we're living in this world right now in an ABC kind of way. Does God want His children to have victory? Yes, He does. He wants you to have the abundant life. He wants you to have fullness of joy. And according to John chapter 8 and verse 31, there's got to be truth involved in it. The Lord intends the truth, that is, His Word, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The Lord intends the truth, His Word, not only to make you His disciple, as far as being born again in salvation, but also to make you free. To make you free. Now, this freedom from sin does not mean the absence of sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 through 18 says this: "For sin shall not have dominion over you." There's a difference in a Christian sinning, and there's a difference in sinning and a difference in sin ruling you. It has power over you. You see, it ought to surprise, when a Christian begins to become mature walking with the Lord, it ought to surprise you to sin. You see, because you're learning the things of God, and you're learning how to fight, and you're learning how to keep from sinning. Christians are no longer classified as sinners in the Scriptures after you're born again. You're actually called saints. But you're still a sinner because you sin, but you are a saint that sins. You are not a sinner. You see, you're born again, and you're just as well as in heaven already. And you're part of the Lord Jesus Christ already. And you're in the bride of Christ. But you are still in the body and in this environment down here in the devil's domain, and you're going to sin. But you're not a sinner, you're a saint that sins. Whole different thing in the Bible. Whole different thing. It's the difference in being the enemy of God and the difference in being in the family of God, being a son of God. The Bible says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey." If you yield yourself to alcohol and you yield yourself to and let that have the power over you, then it's going to rule you. If you yield yourself to a bunch of lies and a bunch of deceit and deception, it's going to rule you. That's what it says. If you yield your members, he's talking to Christians. Whatever you yield your members to is going to rule you. The Bible says, God forbid, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We are sinners, but you do not have to sin. The Bible says you can yield yourself as a servant to obedience. Obedience to who? Obedience to the Lord. By what? By His Word. By knowing His Word and making a conscious choice to be obedient and to serve the Lord. Being out of fellowship with the Lord is no more than just disobedience. God ain't going to tell me what to do. Okay, well, go on and live like you want to live and be miserable. Don't have no joy. Don't have no abundant life. There ain't no stinking way I would choose. I mean, you get to a point in your Christian walk after the Lord's give you a couple whoopings and you done been through a couple classes already over and repeated them classes because you didn't get it the first time, that finally you'll make your mind up you don't want to go through that class again. And you'll find out that when you become obedient to the Lord and decide that you're going to be obedient to the Lord, that it should have happened a long time ago. That it's so much better to be obedient and to fight on the Lord's side than it is to be a servant of sin. You think you're ruling sin when you're sinning. It's ruling you, friend. It's the master. You're the servant. It's got you. You don't got it. The Bible says, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. That's supposed to be the condition of the Christian when he's born again and after he's born again, is that you were the servant of sin, not that you are. You don't want to be a sinner anymore. You don't want to be involved in sinning no more. I'm born again. I'm one of God's youngins. I don't want to be involved in all that garbage anymore. Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, which is the Word of God, which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness, of doing right, which is a much better and much more joyful. There ain't no joy in sinful life. There's pleasure for a season, yeah. That drink give you pleasure for a season. And then it turns sour and becomes an enemy to you. It did me every time. The drugs do the same thing. Adultery does the same thing. Wicked mind, a wicked heart does the same thing. All sin brings forth is death. There is no victory in sinful in sin. That's why the Lord bought us, so that we could be made free. Now, does God want His children to have victory? Of course He does. What kind of God would He be that He come down and save us and then not give us the victory over sin? That wouldn't be very God-like, would it? But we have a wonderful God. Our God does not want us to suffer. And if we do suffer for righteousness' sake while we're in the body, then the Lord's well pleased with that, the Bible says. For great is your reward in heaven, the Lord says. Whole different set of circumstances, suffering for righteousness' sake versus suffering because you want to be a servant of sin. The Lord wants us to have the abundant life. He wants us to have fullness of joy. And the Lord intends the truth, His Word, not only to make His disciple, make you, to save you and to bring you into the family of God, but also to make you free. And this freedom from sin does not mean the absence of sin. We just read that. Because in Romans right there, Brother Paul was talking about that you not yield your members as servants of sin, but servants of righteousness. And when we do that, it gives us freedom from the power of sin. God's Word is alive. God's Word lives, and there is power behind that book, behind God's Word. You can believe it or not believe it. I know it to be true. I stake my soul and my life and my eternity on that book and what them words say. And you should too. That's what the Lord said. So we see, first of all, in this study of victory here, we're getting off to a good start, I think, about what it takes to have victory. Does God want His children to have victory? Absolutely. God wants you to have victory, and it's not the Lord sitting there with a carrot out in front of you and smacking you upside the head every time you make a mistake. That's not our God, and He don't hold a carrot out in front of you and tease you and upbraid you and make fun of you and laugh at you. The Lord doesn't do that. The devil does. The devil loves doing that kind of stuff. But that's not the Lord. That's not the Lord's business at all. Our God is compassionate, friendly, very kind. The Lord is very kind. But the Lord's not going to be manipulated by nobody. And it's an amazing thing that we all do that anyway. We try to manipulate the Lord. And that you get to the point to where you tell God where He can get off. You tell Him to go suck an egg or something, you know. And you think that you're really talking to somebody like a human being, but you're talking to the Lord. And you say such bold things to the Lord, and you think that He don't hear you. But the Lord will bring that stuff up later when He teaches you that lesson. He'll bring it up. What was that you said? Does God want me to experience a life of victory? You better believe He does. But the Lord's, if you want to be a servant of sin, the Lord's not going to force you out of it. He's not going to make you quit. He'll sit there and watch you die, watch you suffer. And then when you go to blaming Him, He'll say, well, it ain't my fault. I'm trying to get you out of that mess a long time ago. You're the one that turned your back and turned your shoulder to me. Lift up your heels to me. Walk away from me. Don't want nothing to do with me. And then you're going to try to blame this mess on me? And that's the way we are, ain't it? But when you're in the family of God, you don't have to put up with all that stuff as long as you're willing and you got, your heart is in it. The Bible says that your heart's in it. It says, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. If you know anything about the Bible and anything about God's Word that He's taught you, you ought to know something. You ought to be putting it to work in your life and trusting in it. So what are the steps to a victorious life? Are there steps, or I mean, is there certain things you got to do? What is it? How do you do it? Well, first thing is God's Word. As a matter of fact, the majority of it is God's Word. The majority of victory is God's Word. To teach us to enjoy the victorious life, we need to look at some steps, though. And listen, I want to tell you and remind you, just time out just a minute, that these lessons here, they have paper. It's on paper. It's in text. And if you want them, all you have to do is just email me, and I'll send them to you at barnhouseministries@gmail.com. And I'll send them to you, and you can sit there and look at these, because the reason I'm saying that it would be better for you is because there's a lot of graphs and there's a lot of diagrams that are on these lessons also that I do explain on these lessons on the audio part of it, but you can't really get it visibly until you're looking at it. So if you want them, just give me a write me and I'll send them to you. But let's just imagine right now that you got some steps. All right, we're talking about a diagram of steps. Go from your right to your left and imagine, say, four steps. Four steps from your right to your left. All right, and then there, let's say that the very bottom We're talking about victory in your life, steps to having victory in your life. Now, way up top up there is a star past the fourth step that says victory. You got the victory, okay? Now, way down on the bottom step down there where you begin, is first thing is that, now, this is not like a 12-step program to getting victory with God and all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of something that you keep in mind, and there is some scripture with it too, and I'll give it to you in just a minute. But the first thing down at the bottom step down there is to identify the enemy. A lot of us can't get the victory over something because we won't tell the truth about what the enemy is. Is to identify the enemy. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there ain't a one of you out there as a Christian, if you're a Christian, there ain't a one of you out there that ain't got something to confess. Probably daily if you're like me. You're lucky to get 15 minutes without having to talk to the Lord about something. That's who we are. We're still in the body. And this body's cursed and it's dying. It's going back to the grave. It ain't saved. Your soul and your spirit saved and born again. Your body ain't saved yet until the Lord comes. But to identify the enemy. And then say you step up on the second step. And that's to understand your enemy. You not only have identified it, you know what the enemy is in your life. You know what the enemy is keeping you from serving the Lord and stealing your joy, taking away your abundant life. You identified it. Now you got to understand it. And I'm not talking about an understanding of this psychiatric, psychologist stuff like that. I'm an expert at that junk. not knowing the book work, but knowing how they speak and what avenue they try to go down. It ain't spiritual. They call it psyche. Yeah, psyche. But it's not spiritual. It's not spiritual according to the Word of God, put it that way. The kingdom of God, put it that way. It's not the kingdom of God, which is within you. Understanding the enemy. You got to understand the enemy, just take for example you're drinking. If you're drinking or if you're a drug addict or if you've got sex problems or immoral problems or things like that, that you're fighting, the sin that you're fighting. It ain't none of my business. But you identify it and you confess it to the Lord and that you want to do something about it. And then you understand it. How's it come about? Who's making it happen? Are you doing it? Is your flesh doing it? Is the devil doing it? Is it the world doing it? I mean, you got to understand where your enemy's coming from and who the enemy is and understand how he operates with you. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil don't want to just come up and punch you on the arm. He wants to take you out. Identify your enemy, and then you understand it. You figure it out. And then you get in that Bible, and you realize that God has provided a victory for you. The Bible says that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Problem is that you like the taste of your sin so much that you don't look for the exit until it's too late. 7 days ago, I had a good friend that'd been fighting with heroin for so long. Guess what happened to him? He went in there and thought he was going to mess with that sin some more. Took him a big old dose and shot up and died in his mama's bathroom. And his mama was the first one to found him. He was laying up against the door, and she got worried because he was so long in there, and she'd been helping him try to fight this thing for so long. And went in there, tried to push the door open, and it was hard because he died and fell up against the back of the door. Just that quick. Realize God has provided a victory for you. You see, it's in the heart. What do you want? Do you want the victory? If you the thing about it is most Christians that don't have the victory don't want it and ain't interested in it. They're too busy with their sin. And can't figure out how come they're so miserable. And the Bible tells you very plainly before your eyes, all you got to do is read it, that sin bringeth forth death. It's good for a season, but it gets nasty after a while. So you identify the enemy and you understand the enemy. That's the second step. And then you climb up the third step and realize that God has provided a victory for provided for your victory if you want it. And then right up at the top, you translate that victory into your own life. Now, you say, well, I ain't strong enough, but the Lord is. And I'm here to tell you that if you want it and you trust the Lord and you'll take the step that you know that you can take, the Lord will come along and give you the rest of the steps and help you up the rest of the way. I promise you that. The Bible says He will, and He does. He did with me, and I ain't no more special than you are. The Lord's not a respecter of persons. He loves you. He wants you to have the victory and the abundant life and to get that mess out of your life and not have to deal with it no more. But He's not going to make you do it. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looks at the hearts. You keep saying, oh, Lord, I want the victory in this. I want the victory in this. I want the victory in this. He says, yeah, I know you do. You're saying it with your mouth, but that's not what's in your heart. You don't want it in your heart. As soon as your heart gets involved, everything else will follow. As long as you like the taste of that sin, you're going to stay in it. But the Lord wants you to have that victory, but there's circumstances to it. The Lord's not going to be manipulated. He's not going to be made a fool out of. The Lord rewards you for sincerity. He wants you to have that victory. He really, really does. And it is possible. Listen, I'm the weakest person there is when it comes to sin. I'm a scaredy cat when it comes to being around sinful things now. I got to get away from it quick because it sucks me in. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I don't even want to be tempted no more. I want it completely away from me and out away from me because I know what living the abundant life and the joy of the Lord is. And I love it. I love living for the Lord. And I hate being tempted. And this world's got plenty of temptations, doesn't it? Sure does. So there's steps to victory in your life, to victory. It ain't like it takes 100 years. It can happen overnight if that's where your heart's involved in it. That's how come when people get saved, some of the things in their life disappear. And some, it takes people years and years to get the victory over. But it all comes down to a change in the heart. And the change in your thinking, and you believe in the Lord, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Do you hate evil? You have to learn how to hate evil too. And the longer you stay in sin, you being educated about sin just as much as you being educated about the things of God when you're in the Bible. If you're not in your Bible and educating yourself about what God's Word says that'll give you the abundant life, then you're reading the devil's business. And you're being educated about sin and ungodliness. And the problem with knowing too much about sin, there is such thing as knowing too much. And you find out too much about sinful things, the problem with that is that you have to unlearn that stuff. Now, the Bible teaches that there's three kinds of enemies, or there's three enemies that you're going to face as a child of God. Remember, we're not talking about the people that are not born again. They do not know spiritual things. They're walking in darkness. But for the child of God, there's three enemies that you're going to face, and each seeking to rob you of the joy of the Lord and steal away your Bible from you. The first thing is the world. Have you not yet seen that the world don't want nothing to do with God's Word? The flesh. That body that you're carrying around has a mind of its own, and it's wicked, and it's going back. It's got a curse on it, and it's going back to the grave, just like God said. And until it dies, it's going to give you trouble. And what you have to do is wake up in the morning, step on that flesh's neck, and say, "You don't get to talk today. My spirit, the spirit's going to have control today." The Lord said, "Walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." He didn't say you wasn't going to have lusts in the flesh. The flesh lusts all the time. But he said you won't fulfill it if you're walking in the spirit. The world, the flesh, and one other, and that's the devil himself. He is your enemy. He's not doing you any favors. And if he's teaching you how to do and have pleasure in sin, you're the sucker, because you're the one that's going to suffer for it. And he's going to laugh in your face. The devil never means anything good for you. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to take you completely out and kill you. And he does it. Just had one 7 days ago, one of my friends, fighting with heroin. The devil got him. Just one last shot. Out he went. He's in heaven with the Lord now. Now let's take each one of these enemies, and we're going to start that on our next recording. We got a good introduction for this victory thing and talked about, I think we laid a good foundation about our study for victory, don't you? That it's got to be sincere. If you want victory in the Christian life, you got to be sincere with God, and you got to be honest with him, and you got to serve him in sincerity and in truth. And if you want victory in the Christian life, you cannot be ruled by sin. Sin cannot have the dominion over you. It can't be boss. Righteousness has got to be boss. And God's Word is righteousness. Who's your final authority? Everybody's got a final authority. You say, "Well, God's my final authority." Well, a lot of people that don't have the victory, they are their own. I mean, you are either your final authority. I'm the one that says so. I get the last word. Who gets the last word when it comes to the decisions in your life and whether you're going to have the victory? Who gets the last word? It's got to be the Lord. It's got to be the Word of God that gets the last word. Final authority. Everybody has one. It might be you that's the final authority. It might be your wife or your husband that's the final authority. It might be money that's the final authority. Who's the final? What's the final authority in your life? Dope? The bottle? Man, the final authority to me used to be the bottle. I couldn't wait for the bell to ring to get off of work. I went straight to the beer store. But the Lord gave me victory over that. But he didn't give it to me until I took the first step at it. and showed him that I meant it. And, yeah, it's suffering to get out of all that, but you end up with joy. And you end up with the abundant life. And it doesn't have rule over you anymore. The Lord don't want booze and drugs and illicit sex and perversion and all that kind of garbage to have rule over you. It's miserable. Especially for the Christian. When you know better. And you know how you ought to be living. You know, God don't need no perfecting. We don't do Him no favors by being good. God's perfect, and He's always going to be perfect. And He don't need any improvement at all, and you don't better God by being on His side. It betters us. We're the ones that get the benefit. And that's what God wants, is for us to have the benefit. He wants us to have the abundant life and have victory while in the flesh. Because once we leave, or Jesus comes and changes our body and fashions it like unto His glorious body, we're going to be eternal. And there will be no more sin in us. We're not going to be tempted ever again. We won't know what it's like to sin. We're going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to eventually have the ultimate victory. But what we're talking about is victory while you're in the flesh here. You see? So, what we found out today is that, does God want us, His children, to have victory? Absolutely. The Scripture says He does. The Lord said, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. And I believe Him, don't you? Sure we do. And then there's steps to it. The first step is that your heart's got to be involved in it. Sincerity's got to be involved in it. That you mean business with the Lord. You're not just giving Him some lip service. And then we found out who our enemies are. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're going to see what the Scripture says about each one of them. And we're going to identify them. We're going to try to understand them. And see what the Bible gives us as far as understanding each one of them enemies. And we're going to realize that God's given us, that God has provided a victory in each one of those, against each one of those, enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then how to translate that victory into your own life. We're going to look at all three of them. And we'll do that beginning on the next recording. Amen. Well, this has all been good news, hasn't it? It's all been good news. When we're talking about victory, we're not talking about crossing the finish line and it's all over. We're talking about a daily walk with the Lord and daily having victory. Walking as a child of God and pleasing unto the Lord. And not ashamed of the Lord and not ashamed of walking before Him in righteousness. You're not ashamed of Him. Amen. I'm not ashamed of Him. Are you? Amen. Good. Good. All right. Well, thank you for coming and listening and participating. And we got a good start to this study of victory. The letter V, study number 22 in the ABCs of Christian growth. And I really appreciate you and you studying God's Word and honoring Him. Talk to you on the next one. It's Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.